So we're going to talk about blame, the blame game. And that's our topic area. And then we want to talk about getting help. Everybody say getting help. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll see different scriptures here. And the idea of our message, the main point of our message here, is that blaming somebody else never ends well. And unless we take responsibility, we are not going to ever get help. That's why we call it getting help. You know, I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for a number of years. And, I mean, I break my own anonymity. But I don't mind if everybody knows because I have victory now. But if I was still using, I don't think I'd want anybody to know, particularly being a pastor. And I think there's some pastors who do have that problem, but I don't. So I'm free. And so it was a time in my life where I didn't want to admit that I was addicted. And I kept going, and I blamed my parents because I drank. Because my parents, I felt that they drank, and I blamed them because I drank. And I blamed them for my rough lifestyle. I was in pain. I was hurting. I had all kinds of issues. Then I blamed the government. I blamed, you know, the residential school system because I'm drinking. And I had a hard time in my life, and I blamed everybody. And so it wasn't until I stopped blaming the government, I stopped blaming my parents, that I got help. I said, okay, that did happen to me. And yes, it was unfair what happened with the Canadian government and what happened to my life, but that's not going to help me right now. You know, and they gave me, I think, $13,000 because I spent 3 years in the pen. 3 years in the residential school system. It gave me like $13,000. Well, that didn't last long. And so I received some more money because I went to the day school. They gave me some more money, just a few bucks. I mean, I never was abused. I didn't have any sexual abuse. Some people suffered really bad. My mother had a hard time. She spent 8 years in there. And she had to get right. So it was until I stopped blaming everybody that I'm like how I am. It's when you stop in your life and you examine your own life and take responsibility of what's happening right now, then nothing's going to change. It's that when you start saying, okay, yeah, that happened, we'll take care of that. But listen to me right now that, okay, I have a problem. And the Bible will tell you, if you continue to not admit your own difficulties, what's wrong with you, nothing's going to change. If you walk in the truth, God has to deal with everybody else. We have no control over everybody else except us, ourselves. Are you guys doing okay? Because you look shocked, because I'm not going to call anybody up and give testimonies. I'm not going to point at anybody. Okay, so everything's so cool. So it wasn't until that I started talking to some key people in my life. They said, Roma, you have to take care of yourself. And I was a young man. I started, you know, understand this. I started my career as a full-time career criminal and liar and abuser, alcohol abuser, drug addict. I started very young. My uncle was a drug addict. He died a drug addict. And he showed me how to take these pills and showed me how to relieve myself if I was having, anxiety and stuff like that. I was young. Before I even was a user, he began to use that. My mother was the same way. And so I learned these things earlier in my life and had to get out of that area. And I got free from it. And so I know what I'm talking about because I went through the whole thing. My parents You know, I had a hard time. My dad was a hunter-trapper, lived full-time. He worked full-time in the bush. And he hunted and trapped. He was he did different things for different people to show people how to catch fish. And he did that for a number of years, most of all his life, I guess, really. And he worked in a seasonal worker for different companies cutting wood. And so he was a hunter-trapper. Never spoke English very much. In our home, we had to have sign language. No, that is not true. My dad, you know, he never spoke English very well. And so we used to laugh at my dad, and he would get mad at us. I could tell you stories, funny stories, but anyway, it was in our home. It was our home, and everything went good in our home because we tease each other, we act like Anishinaabes, we tease each other, laugh at each other, until we cried. But that's in the past. And so I don't know why I'm saying this, because maybe there's somebody here who needs to hear that. Just that one little story to help them go home happy today. So it's not until we become honest about our lives that things are going to change. So nothing's going to change if you point fingers at somebody. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, I'm reading the New Living Translation here. You can read the King James if you want, but I'm reading this because it's easier to read. And I understand, like, you know, some of these are paraphrased. And I mean, when you're talking about the Bible, you're paraphrasing the Bible anyway. You're not always talking the King James right on. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals of the Lord had made. One day he asked a woman. Now, I don't know why he would want to talk to the devil. He asked a woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? You know, the devil, he's a perverter. He's a twister. You know what the word pervert means? It means twisted. He'll twist things. So the devil will twist God's word. It sounds like God's word, but he'll twist it and make it seem that he's talking about the word, but he'll convince you about something that's not in the Bible. So he came to Eve and said, did God really say that, to eat none of the trees of this garden? Now he'll come to you and talk to you about what God said, and he'll twist things. Now he did the same thing to Jesus in Mark chapter 4. He said, you know what, if you jump off here, didn't God say he'll protect you? Just jump off, throw yourself off this ledge here. He's really telling him to commit suicide. Try to commit suicide, and see, God will help you. He'll, you know. So here he twists different things. The Bible said that serpent came tempting both Adam and Eve in paradise. You know, in the beginning, God put man in the garden to work the ground and care for it. Man or Adam and Eve had no problems, and everything was perfect for them to live. You know, your life could be going on perfectly. Devil come by, and it doesn't even seem like he's a devil. He hide himself, and he'll just disguise himself. What he wants you to do is not wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But something happened to him, to Adam and his wife. Even though things were perfect, trouble came by. You see, even though things may be going well for you today, you can have disruption by what the devil will bring to you. And so you have to make decisions based on the scripture, based on the word of God. So that old serpent came, talked to this woman. So he tempted both of them. He came questioning the word of God. He came questioning the will of God for them in a perfect situation, right in the will of God. They're walking in the will of God, and the devil still came and he tempted them. He said, did God really say, you shall not eat from any of the tree? And he proceeded to speak to them, tempting them to disobey God by planting thoughts doubts, seed thoughts of doubts in their mind. So Eve responded over here in verse 3, 2 and 3. He said, "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden," the woman replied. Verse 3, "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat." So she's talking to the devil. God says, "You must not eat it or even touch it. And if you do, you will die." So he's talking to the devil, and they're having this conversation. So he tries to straighten out the devil that way, but the devil kept twisting the word. Satan lied to Eve. Verse 4 and 5. He says, "You won't die." The serpent replied to the woman, "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." So, Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's hearing this word this morning. I pray that the anointing of God will break every yoke of bondage. I pray that every stronghold of thinking that's wrong will come down. I pray that every mind will have a pure and openness to receive the word of God, because your mind and the mind is a gateway to the heart. I pray that the heart will be flooded with the anointing of God. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. So Satan said, "You won't die." When God says you'll die, he was talking about spiritual death immediately, because they died instantly. They died spiritually in the garden. You understand that Jesus, when he came, he was like Adam. Sinless. Perfect. The first man, Adam, he had the glory of God on him. And when he sinned, that was taken away, because all of a sudden he became naked. See, Adam, Jesus is the second Adam. He came here successfully, and he beat the devil. He didn't give in to temptation. And so Eve takes the bait. She accepted the lie, and everything changed. And as they say, the rest was history. Verse 6, the woman was convinced. She saw the tree and was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious. How many people know, if you look at sin long enough, it becomes acceptable and palatable to you? So she wanted wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. How many people know who you're close to? Brother Higgin taught us this. He said, follow somebody. Follow some role model in the Word of God. Follow a Christian man, Christian woman. But be careful what they do, because whatever happens to them will happen to you. Follow closely. Follow their ministry. But watch close enough so that you don't fall and make the same mistakes. So it's important to follow somebody. I understand you follow people in life. And whoever you follow, you could have the same problems. I could say something here that will help you and make you laugh, but I'll stay away from that right now, because this is, you don't want to spoil the moment. Ever said trouble in paradise? Said trouble in paradise. Like some of you, my life is wonderful. Yeah, until the devil comes out, he lives in your house. Things may be perfect until you get tempted out of God's will into some kind of sin. Your flesh is always ready to sin, even when you're born again. The things you used to be and do before you were a born again Christian can actually all come back to you if you're not careful. Okay. So, whatever happens in your life, your will has something to do with it, so we need to stay in the will of God. You have to deal with things as they come to you and make choices daily. Satan will be there all the time to get you off the path, the right path. So Satan was more cunning, the Bible says, than any of the beasts of the field. the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, you know, begin to talk to the woman. Satan will work on your flesh in this life. He'll work on your flesh full time. And he'll work on your pride to keep you in sin. Because he said, you don't need anybody. You don't need to tell anybody about this. It's just, you know, don't tell anybody. Everybody's going to find out. They're going to know you have a problem. So what keeps people in bondage a lot of times is that they don't tell anybody. I know, I remember I went to the program. I admit I was a problem. I went to Smith Clinic over in the 70s, mid-70s. I went there, and I had to tell them I was an alcoholic. I had to admit I had a problem. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be an alcoholic and you're 10 years old, like myself. I was. I was addicted early. You could be small. My little brother and some of my cousins, you know, my grandmother, she'd give tobacco to the kids. She said, here, go ahead and have a smoke. My grandmother didn't think anything of it. I mean, that little 8-year-old kids smoking cigarettes like this. Yeah, you would go to the camp with her. We spent all summer long and go like this. Man, this is life. You hear those loons? Yeah, great. And my little brother, he's like 8 years old. He told my brother, give me some of that. Give me the butt after. Just to tease him, my brother would go, shh. And he'd go, he'd fall on the ground dying, crying. He's addicted to the alcohol, to tobacco. So you can be addicted at any time, especially when you're young. I was addicted young. Started smoking early, came out of boarding school here in Fort William, went home. The first day went home, everybody was smoking cigarettes. Oh, I'm going to buy some cigarettes myself. What kind would be good for me? Oh, menthol cigarettes. It's cool in here. So I went and bought these menthol cigarettes, and I just about died. So it's funny, you know, it didn't taste good, but you still wanted to. I remember getting high instantly. Ooh. But that's what happens. You get high. You know, they say that smoking is harder to quit than anything else, but that's also a lie. But I said to my wife said to me, when I met her, because I was a Christian, and I went back to smoking, because nobody's there to tell me anything. So my wife said, if you smoke, I ain't never going to kiss you. So immediately I said, I'm going to kiss that woman. I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to be near you. So I got her. You need to find a husband, wife, or a husband. You need to find a wife, husband. Not mentioning anything about anything else, but anyway. So, are you still smoking?
Nope.
No, okay. So she never smoked in her life anyway. But I'm just checking anybody over here. You all right? You doing okay? Okay, everybody's okay. I'm not going to point you out, just pointing, just like this. You know? Yeah. I used to smoke. Quit yesterday. But anyway, that's long yesterday. So you know, that Satan will work on you. Notice over here, verse 5, God knows, he says to Eve, God knows the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See, Satan will attract you, he'll attack you, and he'll, you know, go to your flesh because your flesh wants to do stuff, you know, all the time. It's so easy to be tempted. So notice over here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, John says, do not love the world. I'm reading the New King James. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, he's not talking about the physical world, the trees and the soil and the rocks. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the system of the world, everything that's in here that makes it tasteful for your flesh. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, if you just love the world, practice whatever the world does, if you like living like that, he said, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, notice this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know how much pride takes people down? They don't want to admit they got difficulties. They don't want to say anything about what they have. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. So in Genesis chapter 3 again, verse 6 to 11, we see, so the woman, when she saw the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they both knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Now, if something happened here, all of a sudden they sinned, and then the glory of the Lord lifted from them. They were naked, and all of a sudden they felt something they never had before. It was fear, and they were able to, hid themselves among the tree. Now, we have to be honest with ourselves before the Lord, before you can get any help. Anybody here that's here, you have to be honest with yourself. If you've got any kind of problem, I mean, it doesn't have to be addiction. It could be different things like lying or whatever issue you might have. Talking about people, you got to be able to admit that you have a problem here. So in verse 9, it says, the Lord called out to Adam and said, where are you? How many people know that God knew where Adam was? He didn't say, well, where's Adam? Where are you? God made everything. He knows. The Bible says nothing is hidden from him. And when God talks to you about your situation, asks you, what are you doing? You say nothing. Nothing. I'm not doing that. Why'd you say that? I didn't say anything. So you just go on, pretend that you didn't say anything, you didn't do anything. So verse 10 says, he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. So he begins to have some sensations that he never had before. He said he was afraid. Why would you be afraid of God? Why would you want to hide yourself? See, this is what happens when you're not honest. You begin to get into more pride. Just, pretend nothing's wrong with you. Pretend you don't have a problem. It's everybody else that has a problem. And even God. And why is he prying in your life? He should mind his own business. We tell God a lot of stuff that we don't ever admit. We tell God stuff. It's my life. Yeah, but God gave it to you. He didn't say you could do whatever you want with it. So Adam avoids taking responsibility, and Adam avoids being honest. Adam said, verse 11, the New King James, he said, who told you? You were naked, the Lord says. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? You think God knew that the anointing lifted, that he was naked? Did God knew that he ate that from that fruit? See, God was trying to deal with Adam, just like he deals with you and I. He's always trying to deal with you about situations in your life, but you keep running away. Avoiding ever being honest and exposing yourself that you're a liar and that you have a problem. No, but your pride doesn't want you to ever admit that you're wrong. And everybody here has the same issue with our flesh, every one of us has. It's not just a few people. All of us have this difficulty. Adam could have been honest right there, and things could have been different. Instead, Adam began to shift blame to the woman for his situation. Traditionally, we always laugh, the woman, we blame the woman. But there was no laughing in the garden when it was going on. Well, I like to blame, we joke about it, but it's not really a joke, right? So she blames the woman. And Adam blames also God. I didn't blame God for giving him the woman. He said, you know, God, that woman you gave me. So people see here in their own lives, they always say, you know what? God, if I wasn't in this situation, if you were like me, you'd do the same thing. So he begins to talk to God, and people talk to God like this all the time, but they're not aware of it. He begins to talk to God and says, God, you gave me that woman. So here, verse 12, then the man said, the woman you gave me, the woman you gave to be with me, she, then he blames her too, she gave me the tree and I ate. So he put himself last. He didn't say, well, yeah, Lord, I did it. I'm really sorry about that. I did it. I'm sorry about that. I have no clothes on here. So a lot of us, you know, we get into trouble with God by not being honest. You know, understand this. There's a lot of Christians that are not honest. They're not honest. In the book of Luke, the Bible says that people who have an honest heart are actually going to succeed in life. That's why it says in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, that God says, look for honest people among you who can start working in the ministry of helps. That's one of the most predominant area in the ministry of helps that you need is someone to be honest. You don't need dishonest people, especially working with finances, you know, taking money from people, taking offerings and putting a few bucks in your pocket. Or you don't need people talking about people. You're counting money and talking about who's giving money, who's not giving money. In the ministry helps. Or saying, okay, you know why? How come this guy doesn't give? No, you have to be trained. That's why I said serving in the ministry helps can be dangerous to your health. Everybody wants to help, but they want to help their own way. You got to be taught to help. There's a certain way of helping people. You don't just help people and do what you want to do for them because you think it's right for them to have this or do this. No, you help them the way they want to be helped. So, I understand there's a lot of things we're talking about here this morning. Thanks. So Eve, everybody say Eve. Eve blames the serpent. Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So they both blamed each other. Everybody's blaming one another. They covered up their wrong. God wants us to be humble, teachable, honest. Not to be critical or judgmental of other people. You know, they're judgmental of God. They're judgmental of, God, why aren't you doing this for us over here? We're living, you know, this part of the world. How come the people in other churches that are on different areas, they're a whole lot better off than we are? You know? God doesn't want us to be critical of one another when we're in trouble. There's a time to be honest, not to cover up. So listen, when we start covering up our sins, we're going further away from God. The more we become dishonest, the more trouble we're going to have in our lives. Notice over here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, I'm reading the King James. He who covers his sin will not prosper or not, will not succeed. But whosoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy. How many people like the fact that you can receive mercy from God if you come to God right away, say, God, I have a problem here, and you'll have mercy? But if you keep doing what you're doing and you keep covering up, you're not going to receive mercy, you're going to receive judgment. Sooner or later, God's going to have to judge you. And you might have to leave here early. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The reason why people don't, they die early is that they're not honest and humble about their lives. They start keep sinning and keep getting deeper and deeper. And pretty soon they're so sinning, they become so hard to the voice of God. They're out there doing whatever they want to do. You know, the more you say no to God, it's easier to do the next time. I remember my little girls, when I'm working with them when they're tinier, as they get older, and off went off to get to college, you know, and high school. When they were little, I could tell them something, and they would cry right away. Even before high school, during high school, when they were in their early teens, you know, 14, 15, 16, I would talk to Hannah and Natasha. They'd cry right away because I'm talking to them about something. They know. They could never hide something. Natasha says, "Dad, I could never hide from you." After a few years of being in high school, rubbing shoulders with all the Philistines and the Amalekites, those are families who live down the street, see. The Amalekite kids would come around, the Amorites, they'd all be all around our house every once in a while. So you hang around with them for a while, make everything, normalize everything. It's okay to disobey your parents. One day, Pastor Ken says to me, "Hey, I just saw, didn't I just see a van go by? And Natasha, she's 14 years old, just driving down the road." I asked Natasha, I said, "Did you take my car?" "Oh, no, I never took it." I think she must have been 15 or something, 14, 15. I can't remember who it was. But now, Joe, don't get any ideas. So she said to me, Dad, listen, I couldn't resist myself. I want to take my kids, my chums to the store. We had to buy some treats." So she knew where the keys were and all that. She took liberty. I remember this kid, you know. She wouldn't lie to me. She'd always be honest. She'd leave me a note. Said, "Dad, I'm going to the dance tonight, and I know this is wrong, but when I come home, we can deal with it." She leave me a note. She wanted to admit, first of all, that she did this, right? So after they get older, it's easier to have more problems, because, you know, the more you say, I noticed that my kids, after they start getting harder, it wasn't easy. See, the Bible says that sin will make you hard on the inside. That's why God says, "I'm going to give you a heart that's soft, a sensitive heart to me." It's easier to be that way. It's easier to be sensitive to God. The more you walk with God, you obey Him, the softer your heart is. That's why Paul talks a lot of times in the epistles. He talks about having his heart, conscience clean before God. It's easier when you're walking with God to keep a clean heart, a heart that's soft before God. That's when you need God and you need to hear from Him, you hear from Him right away, because you don't have to dig out all the junk in there to see if it's God or not. Because the more harder you become, the more you cover up, the harder it is for you to hear God. That's why I said, to follow God, to know His voice. Because, when you got all kinds of junk, you got hurt in there, you got resentment in there, you got all that stuff in there, and you're trying to hear God, it's very hard to hear God in that situation. You understand what I'm talking about? So your heart can be blocked. Your heart can be insensitive to God, especially when you need to hear from Him right away. So he that covers his sin will not prosper or be successful. Whoever confesses and forsakes it will have mercy. So Adam, God had to deal with Adam. Because God gave him lots of opportunity, kept asking him, talking to him, and both of them, and they finally God had to cut them off and said, "Guys, you need to get out of here." They had to leave the garden. So a proud person covers up, makes himself look good in spite of their wrongs. A person of pride will hide themselves and hide whatever the situation they have, as Adam did among the fig leaves. We need to confess, not hide. Pride covers up. Humility admits. So we can miss the mercy of God and the grace of God when we continue to rebel and not be honest about our situation. So You know, I noticed, you know, in the book of James says, you know, when we confess our faults to one another, we can be healed. I listened to a story, my wife and I listened to a story about, what's her name, Lisa Bevere. You all know Lisa Bevere? But if you know anything about her, Google her. She was talking about her kids. She said her kid kept saying, I have problems, you know, with the tongue. He couldn't, you know, there was something wrong with his tongue. And she said, no, go to school. And he was having trouble at school. And she had to go to the dentist. And then she went to the dentist. And this kid was having a lot of trouble at school. And he found out he had cancer under his tongue. It's amazing what happens. You know, sometimes we need to listen to our kids. But you know, the funny thing about it, I guess she's making a lot of mistakes with her kids. Now, everybody makes mistakes with their kids. She's definitely made mistakes with her own kids. But anyway, they call dad, you know, John's a dad, John. So he said, you know, the Bible says, call for the elder of the church. So he made that boy call him. He says, call for the elder of the church, you can be healed. So anyway, before they went to the operation later on, so one day he was saying, they checked under his tongue and the thing was gone. You know? So the thing about it is you have to admit you have a problem before you can ever get healed. You know? So you have to take responsibility. So humility, if you're humble, you'll take responsibility of your situation. And if you're proud, you're going to always continue to cover your sin. So, notice in the scripture says that these guys didn't get the mercy of God because they continued to lie. And so we need to, or shift blame or be critical of everyone else. When we do that, when we're critical of everyone else except our own sin, then we're not going to receive mercy and grace. As Adam, that they had to be judged. So you need to judge yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, the New Living says, but if we would examine ourselves, we'll not be judged by God. So we need to be honest about our lives. And sometimes we blame God for stuff in our own lives. I did. I didn't realize I didn't have I have so void of the Word of God that I would say whatever I wanted to say. Here's the Amplified says, 11:31 says, but if we evaluate it and judge ourselves honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we will not be judged. This is the Amplified says. So evaluate, judge yourself. Say, yeah, I have a problem here. I need to fix it up. I need you to recognize that you have a shortcoming. You've been weakened in a certain area. Begin to correct your behavior. You know, God had to judge over here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. To the woman, God said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then he said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it, and all the days of your life. So they had to be judged. They didn't get grace. They didn't receive mercy there. Instead of getting mercy, they got judgment. They could experience mercy. We could experience mercy. If they were forthright, if they were honest about their actions, they had to get judged. We don't want to be judged. I remember, Dr. Hagin, you know, he had problems in different areas, and God said to him, you know, you got to judge yourself. You have to correct yourself. Like, how many people know, the older you get as a Christian, the less leeway you have for mistakes. Because when you're children, are younger, they can make all kinds of mistakes. But when you get older, it's a different story. So we have to be honest. You and I, with our own lives, we have to be honest. And stop being critical of everybody else. That you blame everybody for what's happening in your life right now. You have to say, okay, I have a problem right now. I'm going to correct this situation. You know, this happened to me. That happened to me. These decisions were made outside of me. But right now, I'm addicted. Right now, I have a problem. I'm angry. I want to get rid of it. So stop blaming people. So I want to just tell you briefly, and I've got a couple of seconds here. The Bible says Cain, you know, Cain and Abel, they were offspring of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that one boy killed the other boy. And one guy, the Bible says about Cain in verse 6, chapter 4, he says, why are you angry? Why has your conscience fallen? The Bible says that this man, he blamed his brother about his offering not being accepted. And so he kills his brother. We're not going to talk about that now because there's other things that's going on there. So this continues, goes on and on and on until, you know, when you're angry because of your situation, it's because you're out of the will of God. If you got lots of anger in you, you're out of the will of God. If you're judging people, you're out of the will of God. We need to get back to where God wants us to get back to. So, let's go ahead and stand up here. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank God for that. We can walk in the light as He is in the light. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a story in the book of Luke about the prodigal son. Everybody knows about the prodigal son. He left home, took his money, his inheritance. And he went off and lived a life of debauchery, of riotous living, the Bible said, riotous living. Just did whatever he wanted to do, spend any money, the money the way he wanted to spend the money. But he got so low, he started thinking about his home. When you're away from God, you think about, you know, oh, I'd give anything to start off my Christian life again. I want it to be like it used to be. I remember when I fell off my Christian walk, and I fell off many, many times before I was, you know. It hasn't been that easy becoming Christian. It's not always easy. If we get off course, and I would think about this, oh, I wish I was the way I used to be. I come to church, the presence of God was wonderful. I'd be having tears in my eyes. I'd be crying. And I wanted to come back to that same place. The Bible says the prodigal son came to himself, and he got honest with God, and he received mercy. God wants to receive you back to a place, restore you if you got problems in your life. I want everybody to close their eyes and bow your head. Father, there's many people in this room today. You see their hearts, you see their lives. We're not here to judge someone. We're not here to judge you. This is between you and God. If this message spoke to you this morning, if this is something that you need to judge yourself, correct yourself before it's too late, maybe you've been prideful, full of pride. Maybe you've been hard on yourself or hard on other people. Maybe you've judged other people. Maybe you judge the church. Maybe you judge somebody for your situation. You blame your husband, blame your wife, blame your children. Now is the time to get right with God. If anybody in this room right now that said, Pastor, I need to get right with God. I don't want to judge people. I want to humble myself before God. If that's you, no one looking around, lift up your hand way up high. I want to talk to you right now. Father, thank you. Anybody else? Lift your hand way up high. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anybody? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand back down. Father, when you saw those hands go up, you know where they stand. I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says when we correct ourselves, you have to say, Jesus, I was wrong. And you're not pointing fingers at anybody else except you. This is the time between you and God. You say, this is me and God. And the man who is honest will prosper. The man who is honest will have mercy. Or the person or the woman who's honest will have grace. Father, I want to thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with every one of us right now. We thank you for making change. Thank you for correcting yourself. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe in him. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came and died, sacrificed for the whole world to not be condemned. Because I trust him with my life to be my Lord and Savior, I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am free. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lift that hand and bless him right now. Everywhere in this room, begin to bless him. Thank him. Lift your hands and bless God. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you that we're free. Come on now. Come on now. In the name of Jesus, we're free. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for healing to flow in this room right now. I pray the healing power of God to flow right now in this church. Freedom. Be filled with the Holy Spirit everywhere. Be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Be strengthened in your inner man. Be strengthened in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ that every sickness in your body departs from you. Thank you for the anointing. Stretch forth your hand to heal. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Healing flow. Healing flow. Deliverance flow. Sickness, go. Joy, come. Joy, out of the innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy everywhere. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Woohoo! Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. The devil's a liar. He's on fire. I'm filled with the water of God. Holy Ghost, amen. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you feeling that anointing right now? Let me see your hand. Wave your hand right here. The anointing of God flowing right here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That back is straightening out right now. That lump is going right now. Hallelujah. The eyes is clearing up. Ho, ho, ho. Thank you, Jesus. Healing in the hips. Healing in the legs. Healing in the toes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clear mind in Jesus' name. Strengthen in the body. No more depression. It's gone. Ha, 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 ha. Depression is gone. Weakness is gone. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You can be free to laugh. If you forgot how to laugh, say, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Some people say, I like to laugh by myself. Well, no, praise God, amen. in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God you came today. I thank God you got healed. Amen.